issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I don't think anyone, perhaps except the youngest among us, who cannot remember a time when life in America was different in a fundamental way. Let me tell you how I think it was different. I think a lot of people would, if you just mention it, they see it right away. There used to be one of my favorite shows. One of my absolute favorite shows is the Andy Griffith Show. And I think it's funny, I think it's cute, I like the characters, but what do I love the most about that show? Mayberry. It was a community. Everybody knew each other, you knew them all, you knew where everybody stood. Now, I understand, it's in America, it's a community that never really existed, it's an ideal. But many of us do remember when a lot of those things that made Mayberry, made our communities. And that's been lost. We'll try and sort out why it's been lost in the next half hour. But the real question is, what does the church do about that? The church that is also itself a kind of communion, a community? What does the church do to respond to the loss of community in our world and in our culture? On this Wednesday afternoon, November the 14th, Pastor Larry Peters joins us. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee. And he's author of a recent blog post titled, The Diminishing Sense of Community. Larry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be here, Todd.
We can diagnose the problem here in a minute, and I think you do an excellent job of just that. But first, many churches have figured this out, that there is a loss of community in the culture and the world, and they have sought to create community there in the church. But is there a caution to be observed? That is a distinction between church and mere community.
I think there's a very important distinction to be made there. And I think one of the great temptations of churches that recognize this problem is to presume that we repair this sense of community by artificially programming opportunities and means and places for people to connect. And this becomes the primary activity of the church as opposed to the community which is established by our common life born of baptism, by the voice of the word that calls, gathers, and enlightens the church, a distinct community by God's grace and favor, and then nurtures that community through the word and the sacrament as they regularly gather. And I think that's probably one of the things that is lost on us. We spend a lot of our time, I mean, I look around our church, I see we do a lot of things. They're not bad things, they're good things, but they're not necessarily church things. We see the fractured community around us, and it's our greatest temptation to try and repair that sense of community, but not necessarily with the community that is nurtured by the Holy Spirit through the Word and the sacraments.
So it sounds like what you're saying is, when it comes to the church, it is built or results in common goals, common values, common ideas, common activities. But that's not what makes it a community.
No, it's God's activity that makes us a community. We're not here even because we have a shared ideology. We're here because we've been given a common life through God's action in Christ. We've been born again, and I think one of the great temptations here is Christians have learned, especially in America, to speak the language of the individualized culture. And sometimes as Lutherans, we get so comfortable with that, we forget that you know, it's not just me and Jesus. You know, that the nature of baptism is that it imparts to us life in a community, a community which is invisible in the sense of it, the extent of that community, but which is visible in those who are gathered by that word and sacrament and nurtured through that means of grace.
not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but do you think that there are churches that have, in their well-meaning intention to create and foster community, ceased to be churches and become mere communities?
I think that happens all the time. And it's not because they're bad people. I'm not trying to throw stones here or cast aspersions. You know, we see a wrong, we understand what's going on, but sometimes in what is wrong, we use the tools of the world instead of the tools of the kingdom. An example is, you know, on Facebook, I have 5 million friends. I have a YouTube page, and everybody visits and sees what's going on. As a pastor, my sermons are on iTunes. I live in a virtual world, and as good as those technological means are to communicate the gospel in one sense, they don't establish real community. Real community is still born of being local, of proximity, of being near. It is a presence, a life together that is not virtual at all, but as real and concrete as anything that we can see or feel.
So let's talk about some of the things that you say are pulling against community in the culture and indeed in the church as well. Where would you begin?
Well, I think you have to start with the family. The family is the basic building block of society by God's design and intention. And yet our families are stressed and scattered and pulled in so many different directions that it's almost as if the family itself is no longer the primary sense of community that it once was. And so because the family is stressed, the church is also going to be stressed by extension in that regard. You think just of common things. How often do families gather for a meal? How often do they pray together? How often do they spend time together around God's Word? How often do they sit around the piano and sing a hymn? I mean, I know those are old-fashioned things some people are going to say, but those were means by which the family gained that sense of identity, who they were as people of God, nurtured, shaped by the Holy Spirit's work through the Word. Their life together was the most important expression of their identity. And the church, you know, builds upon that family. And when the family is stressed and weak, the church is going to be stressed and weak.
Does that go hand in hand with what you also note, and that is marriage has, and even apart from the challenges to marriage from alternative definitions, even before that started, marriage as a community was on the rocks?
I think there's no way of escaping the fact that marriage is no longer the primary choice of young people. Whether you're talking cohabitation or a perpetual state of being single, marriage is no longer the primary goal. I ask kids in catechism class, you know, how many of you want to, you know, get married and have children? And every year I see, you know, some of the hands don't go up. And these are good kids, but they look around, they see the pattern of the world around them. And in some respects in the church, we have catered to the brokenness, but we haven't raised up the model of life together by God's design and intention. You know, my first vocation is a child to my parents, and from that, husband to my wife, and parents to my children. And when that no longer is primary, it changes the whole shape of life for a person.
And even before marriage, when marriage is being kind of, well, when young couples are kind of considering the prospect, sometimes testing the edges of what might be marriage in the future, you say the hookup culture hasn't done us any favors, obviously, but what are your pastoral concerns there?
Well, the pastoral concerns is we don't know what marriage is. We don't know what family is. We equate cohabitation marriage. I'm sure any pastor has heard a couple come in and sit down, and they've been living together, they decide to get married, and you say, well, you tell me what marriage is. And it's really no different than what they've experienced. They have no sense of what marriage is apart from just, you know, sharing the same address and the same place. Yeah, I look at things, for example, like the lack of trust that exists between prospective husband and wife. It shows up in the way we are jealously guarding our things, our money, our time, our possessions. We have an abundance of these things before we even get to the point of marriage, and so we have sort of like these sacred kingdoms to protect. And in doing so, what happens, the great temptation is not to fully give yourself to the other. It is an experience of a certain amount of commonality, but certainly not, as we used to say years ago, the leaving and cleaving of Scripture.
You're saying that we remain on a superficial level with one another, even in our most intimate relationships.
Exactly. I think that, part of it is borne by the fact that we are such a mobile culture. In my own congregation, sometimes 20% of the people who are there on Sunday morning come and go in a given year. Now, that may be unique because we have Fort Campbell right next door, and the military moves people around pretty quickly. But I think we live in such a mobile culture. We don't have these deep roots. Where do we go to find a spouse? Where do we go to meet people? Either social media or the hookup culture has sort of replaced, these venues that used to be there as places where we met people, where we got a sense of who these were, where we began to develop the kind of trust we had in a person, where we can say, I do, at that point when two people are ready to marry.
Pastor Larry Peters is our guest. We're talking about the loss of community and how the church ought to respond. It's Wednesday afternoon, November the 14th. I invite your questions or your comments. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or our Twitter address at issuesetc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, November the 14th. We're talking about the loss of community. Pastor Larry Peters is our guest, pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and author of a recent blog post titled The Diminishing Sense of Community. Read it at issuesetc.org. Click listen. on demand. In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, we begin a series on man's failed attempts to reach God. Today we're going to be talking about mysticism and moralism with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November, Broken, Seven Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. That's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Pastor Peters, let's talk about, we've talked about marriage and family there. Let's talk about something very simple, a little demographics, number of kids. What does that have to do with the loss of community?
Well, the I guess maybe we could go back and say how we define marriage. At one point in time, pretty clearly included children. If not the possibility of children in the sense of the age of the people being married, it was always understood that marriage, family, children, they are the same. Now we have a sense of marriage which is far different, where children are optional. More and more parents, according to the statistics, I looked at a National Health Center survey, I think the results were in USA Today, talking about the numbers of children that are born, and the fertility rate is extremely low. What that means is that people are choosing to have no children, more and more people, and they're also choosing to have fewer children. So what happens is that the family is in some respects a community of two at best, and there is no larger sense of that a child brings to that community in life together. A number of those children who are born, for example, their primary socialization is with adults, and that skews the sense of childhood and adulthood. In many respects, some of these kids, the only time they spend time with other children their age, which for most of us was something we experienced, first of all, in the home growing up. For many of these children today, it happens in a preschool or in daycare, and that's the greater extent of their socialization. So it changes the expectation that they have of marriage and family. And with each succeeding generation, children become more and more distant from that definition.
I want to pick up on something you just mentioned there, and that is this kind of greater sense of community that's not to diminish those who have no children, can have no children. And there certainly is in marriage that sense of living for the other, without a doubt. But children do add to that something, there's something about the community. Now my wife and I live no longer even for merely one another, but for our children, that you simply can't have otherwise.
I say this to my kids, you know, we never had children because of what our children can do for us. And it's not putting the children down. It is the way I was as a child to my parents. Children are takers. And you don't have a child for what you think that child can do for you or provide for you. It is by nature a sacrificial act to have a child. And that shapes the whole sense of life and community just by virtue of that realization. And so when children are optional or absent in the family, the nature of that family relationship will itself be changed. Scripture uses the image of the family over and over again to describe the nature of God's love for us. When Jesus teaches us to pray, he says, pray this way, our Father. And the problem today is that these very essential definitions, the nature of the relationships we have, are so far from us that the scriptural images kind of hit some people almost empty.
You also talk about it in two senses, a general loss of organizations. It is a truism now that our parents' generation and the previous generations were joiners. They did stuff. They went and joined organizations and clubs. That is almost unknown except for veterans organizations occasionally, scouting and things like that. Otherwise, we're loners out there, Pastor Peters.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're loners in two senses. We're loners in the sense that we don't have people near us. We don't know our neighbors. We may drive past two or three churches of our denomination on our way to church on Sunday morning in order to find a church that that fits personal and individual taste and desires. We're also loners in the sense that we've learned to be isolated, and we've learned in a sense to be either content with that or we've learned to live with that. And so the social media becomes a more important outlet to us because it offers the appearance of connection, even though it is not the same connection as a person who is present with us. We're embodied people. We're flesh and blood people, and the longing that we have is for flesh and blood contact. And yet, the ease of our technology has provided us with a vastly different kind of contact that tries to resolve the need within us that we were created to have, communion with God and communion with one another, and yet it can't.
You mentioned something, and you just alluded to it there very briefly, but you mentioned something that most people would not put on their list of either bad effects or bad causes of the loss of community, and that is increasing number of Christians are not attending a neighborhood parish. Why do you mention that, Pastor Peters?
Well, I look at my own parish. We have people, I live in a city of about 140,000 people, and we have people who drive an hour one way on Sunday morning to get here. And in many cases, they pass another church. Now, there are reasons for that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say this is an awful or a terrible thing. Sometimes there are very important reasons why we do that, for the sake of, say, the liturgy and hearing the word spoken clearly in the catechesis that is a part of our nature and life together as Lutheran Christians. But the danger in that is that we end up being Sunday churches. We end up being Sunday communities. One of the great struggles we have in our parish is scheduling youth catechism classes because people are busy, they have to drive so far to get here, and something has to give. Even simple things like the old-fashioned Christmas program for the Sunday school is tempered by these realities, and so we have ours. This year it'll be at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon so that the people who've already driven here don't have to go back home again in order to turn right around and make it back here for a late afternoon or an evening Sunday school program. Those neighborhood churches were important not simply, you know, for the fact that we supported our local congregation, but for the nature of the relationships through the church that those neighborhood churches provided that driving so far just simply can't. And I might add, there's one other element to this that we haven't even talked about, and those are the large numbers of churches that have a children's church on Sunday morning that happens at the same time as the regular worship service for adults. So the family is divided, some cases, within the congregation. And in fact, when you have different services that cater to different tastes and ideas, there are churches where families are divided because somebody likes traditional, somebody likes blended, somebody likes contemporary. And so, you know, the church almost becomes an agent of division instead of a force of community, even in that most essential and basic act of the worship service.
With only about 30 seconds here, Pastor Peters, how should confessional Lutherans in their congregations respond to the increasing loss of community?
Well, I think one, we have to talk about it. We just can't assume that, you know, that people have a sense of what's going on. A lot of times we don't. We don't know why we feel this loss because we've been told we're connected in so many ways that technology provides. I think the second thing is that we need a call to repentance because in many respects this isolation and this loneliness is born of our own desires, you know, to remain disconnected. And I think the other thing is we need to reinforce the sense of community that is naturally God's gift through baptism and our common life together.
Pastor Larry Peters is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and he's author of a recent blog post titled The Diminishing Sense of Community. Larry, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd, and you have a great day.
Speaking of community, there are ties that bind congregations, faithful congregations together. And those things often know, especially in the internet age, there's one of the advantages, they know no boundaries. We have a group that's called the Issues Etc. 300. These are congregations that operate quite independently from one another. They have different pastors, different locations, different people. But they have one thing in common. They faithfully administer God's word and sacraments, and they support Issues Etc. Now, the first two are very important, faithfully speaking God's word and administering his sacraments. The second one is something that we thank them to do. They don't have to do it, but they do it. The Issues Etc. 300 congregations faithfully support Issues Etc. on an annual basis in their budget, and they do it to our great thanks. Now, you can find out about your congregation joining the Issues Etc. 300 as well. There's a one-page flyer at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. Take it, read it, figure out how you want to present this to your congregation, and then... And I would do it soon because your congregation is probably meeting this week, next week, or some week in the future, very near future, to decide budgetary matters for the coming year of 2013. Go to them and say, can't we include Issues Etc. in our budget someplace to the tune of $1,000 or more and become part of the Issues Etc. 300? One of the benefits, just one of the benefits, is that congregation will be able to advertise here on Issues Etc. on a regular basis as well. You can tell other people about your faithful Lutheran congregation. Thank you very much to the Issues Etc. 300 congregations. And if you want to join, renew, or rejoin, issuesetc.org, click support, get that one-page flyer. When we come back, we start a series with Pastor Jonathan Fisk on man's failed attempts to reach God. We'll talk about mysticism and moralism.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.